Mr. Herman.
Poop again! Party on, dude!
In 5, 4, 3, 2. Extreme close up!
Welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. I'm Steven. Hiya, I'm Matt. Hiya, Matt. Hi, hey. Hi, hiya.
Because it's March Alarts Month.
It's March Alarts Month, and we also mixed one of our favorite movies, Heavyweights.
Yes.
And there, which we talked about for our season 2 finale back in 2020 with Jess Weed.
Yes.
So go check that
Very
out.
Very good episode.
Yes. But we are, like Matt said, this is week 2 of March Alarts Month. If you listened last week, you heard us talk about Surf Ninjas with our mom, our nephew, and our sister making her 5th appearance.
Yeah, you want to talk about an episode that exploded.
Yeah.
In terms of downloads.
In terms of downloads. Yeah. I mean, it could have been, you could have categorized it as explosive in some ways.
Very
if
true.
You were here.
Very lively discussion.
Loud like an explosion. That's
yeah.
what it was.
Yep.
No, it was excellent.
Oh,
it was
great.
Loved having our mom on. Always loved having our sister on, but it was such a treat to have our nephew Benjamin on. Mm-hmm. He did a great job.
Yeah.
This week, it's just back to Matt and I.
Hello.
And as you saw in the title, and if you listened last week, you heard what's on the docket. We're talking the movie Sidekicks.
Sidekicks.
Today. For those of you, if this is your first time listening to us, hello and welcome.
Hello.
With Martial Arts Month, we're trying to go kind of the unconventional route when you
yeah.
think of martial arts movies.
Not a whole lot. We're not doing a whole lot of, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme,
mm-hmm.
Bruce Lee, Jackie
yeah.
Chan.
Yeah.
Nothing that you would quickly expect.
Yeah,
sort of
exactly.
thing. More like the lighthearted family / kids movies.
Yeah.
/ you know, cheesy, corny,
mm-hmm.
not as more under the radar kind of
yeah.
stuff.
Stuff that could be considered more like, if not cult classics,
yeah.
Sometimes it's movies like what we're going to be talking about next week with our buddy Derek Gove, Double Dragons, which
yeah.
is highly criticized.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so in a lot of respects, but we'll talk about
yeah,
it.
We'll talk about it. Yeah. It's very much like a Street Fighter to where it deserves all the hate it gets, but you know, we've tried to find some positive in
sure,
it.
Of course.
And we'll get Derek's opinion on it as well.
Yeah.
But right now we're talking Sidekicks. Before we get into our socials, I'd just like to say our boy Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
The Fraze Mang, Fraser Ramon.
Fraser Ramon.
As of when we're recording this on Tuesday. Pi Day, March 14th,
yes.
or as we know it here in the Saint in the Lou, 314
Day. 314
Day,
St. Louis Day.
Yeah, 314 is our area code.
Yeah,
and it's one of the more well known area
codes. The
main
area code
for
St. Louis.
St. Louis,
yeah,
St. Louis County. But it's March the 14th when we're recording this.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few days ago on Sunday, Brendan Fraser.
He won
the Oscar.
A dang Oscar.
Ke Kwan won a dang Oscar.
Exactly.
Jamie Lee Curtis won a dang Oscar.
Exactly.
Michelle Yeoh won a dang Oscar.
Everything, dang, everywhere, dang, all the time. They
all the day
won
long
Oscars.
All won Oscars.
Yeah, baby.
Quite the fun time, even if it was just Brendan Fraser, man.
Yeah.
And Ke Kwan winning. That
yeah.
would have been awesome. But
just so deserving. What
mm-hmm.
a great story, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Brendan Fraser's always been just one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Watched so many Brendan Fraser movies growing up.
Yep. Grew up watching Temple of Doom with Ke Kwan.
Exactly. They were both in Encino Man.
Both in Encino Man, Goonies.
Yeah.
Ke Kwan's mm-hmm. in there. It's just, it's a lot of, it's wonderful news.
Yep.
Just wonderful
Agreed.
News. And let everyone know where they can find all of our wonderful news as it's updated.
All of our wonderful news as it's updated. You can find us just on Instagram for right now. Might kick our Twitter back off again. But for right now, you can just find us on Instagram. We're at the Radcast. Cast is spelled with a K, and the Radcast is all one word.
Mm-hmm.
And then on any and every podcast app, you can find us. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast. Wherever you listen to podcasts, we'll probably be there.
Mm-hmm.
And on certain apps, you can rate and review. So we do ask that you please give us a 5-star rating and a review. It really helps us out. It's not for our egos. It just helps us become more visible.
Yes, and that is definitely what we want with this show.
Yep.
Especially if you like this episode in this month, because Sidekicks was released April 9th, 1993 on Wikipedia. That's what it says. On right. IMDb, it says April 30th, 1993 as the U.S. release.
Yes.
It was released in Germany in 1992. Okay. So sometimes you'll see it as a 1992
yeah,
film.
Right.
But it was released here in the States in 1993. So that qualifies it as having its 30th anniversary.
Yeah. Another 2 weeks in a row.
Exactly. Directed by Aaron Norris, Chuck's brother.
Yeah.
Not his son. I think last week when we said Aaron Norris, I might have said
his son. It's his brother.
But
yeah.
He's also one of the minds behind Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Starring Jonathan Brandis as Barry Grabowski.
Big time child star.
We mentioned him in the 2003 episode.
Yeah, he unfortunately
committed suicide 10 years after this movie came out.
Yeah.
And it's sad because when someone ends their own life, it's sad. And or when someone just dies at a young age, it's really sad.
Yeah.
But if you watch this, you see he had a charm.
Yeah. He was before this, I mean, he did Ladybugs with Rodney Dangerfield. He did the TV special, the original It TV special.
Yep.
Just a rising star,
mm-hmm.
child actor, talented kid, charming, good looking, teen heartthrob. Like
he had it all going for him.
Yeah,
and it's just unfortunate what happened.
Yeah,
but he plays our main character Barry Grabowski. Or Grabowski.
Grabowski.
Yeah. Bo Bridges as Jerry Grabowski.
Uh-huh. Barry and Jerry.
I wonder if his mom was Mary Grabowski.
Or Sherry.
Or Barry Jr.
Could be.
Yes. Julia Nixon as Noreen Chan. Mako as Mr. Lee. Danica McKellar as Lauren.
Mm-hmm. Danica McKellar from
the Wonder Years.
Yep.
Joe Piscopo is Kelly Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Easily one of the best parts of the movie.
Yeah.
It's hilarious just how over the top he is.
So hammy, so over the top, just chewing scenery.
Yep. There's one particular part in one of Barry's kind of daydreams.
Yeah.
That's like, it's so, I was just laughing.
It's so absurd.
Just goofy he was.
Yeah.
John Buchanan is Randy Cellini. And Chuck Norris.
Cellini? Yeah, it's Cellini.
I thought it was Cellini.
It's spelled Cellini, but it's Cellini.
The great Cellini. Cellini. Yeah, Cellini. He didn't do much after this, but he played a good, like...
A good lighthearted 90s like he wasn't lighthearted, but this movie, there's no menace to it.
Yeah, he was like one of those good like bullies.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be like this, you know, copy of a Johnny Lawrence.
Yeah, he's Johnny Lawrence light.
Yeah, that this movie is super. If it's derivative of any of those martial art movies, it's The Karate Kid.
Yeah, this is a far less menacing version of The Karate Kid with some tweaks.
With some tweaks. With the great Richard Mull as the gym teacher, Mr. Horn.
Bull from Night Court.
Let's hit that Night Court bass line. Thank you, Joe Gilbert.
For contributing that.
Yeah, exactly.
On Sucktastic Cinema, we made a lot of Night Court references, and Joe, being a fan as we are of the original TV show, is also a musician, a local St. Louis musician. He is a fantastic bass player, and so the little distinctive bass line of the Night Court theme, he contributed to us as sound drops every time we mention it.
If you'd like to hear his knowledge on 90s hockey, you can hear him on 90s Hockey Part 1 and later in April on 90s Hockey Part 2.
Yes. Part 2.
And Garrett Graham is Mr. Mapes.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett Graham. Character actor. He was the Danny's adoptive father in Child's Play Part 2.
Oh yeah, of course.
And Dennis Berkeley as Hank the Biker. I only mention that because Dennis Berkeley is one of those, hey, that guy.
Yeah.
Big, burly, like, guy talks like this.
Yeah, Suburban Commando.
What are you kidding? It's the 90s.
We'll sue ya.
Funny dude. He's one of those guys who's like, hey, that guy. So
he has a funny line to where I don't remember the character's. What was the character's name?
Hank the Biker.
Yeah,
he's like,
I have a brother named Hank. He's like, I don't know him.
Yeah, that was funny. That's the thing is, I only mention him because he's recognizable.
Yeah.
But Hank the Biker is he's a throwaway along like this with this other biker gang.
He's of no significance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A box office. It made.
Did you mention Chuck Norris?
Yeah, I said Chuck Norris as himself. Yeah, he's the center of the movie.
Yeah, no, that's true, but I don't know how I missed that.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Hello, this is Steven in the middle of the editing process, and I just wanted to jump in here and right a wrong. I did not say Chuck Norris when I was giving the main cast, so for that, I apologize to my brother, Matthew, who is also happens to be my co-host. So, Matt, I apologize for answering your inquiry with any sort of indignance. So, on with chlorophyll. I don't know if you can get anything Aaron Norris without Chuck Norris.
It's very true. He did it as a favor.
Yeah, he did this
to Aaron Norris. Uh-huh. And he wasn't a great actor anyway, mm-mm. But knowing that, you're like, oh, he's just phoning it in and doesn't want to be there.
But again, you can't tell because he's a wooden, uncharismatic
actor
anyway.
Listen, not that anyone really thought this, Chuck Norris is not a good actor.
No, he isn't. But he was serviceable for the movies written around
sure.
him. Thanks to, you know, Golem and Globus with Canon.
Yeah,
or exactly. Thanks to some other production companies that would make movies that would star Chuck Norris.
Yeah, and Walker, Texas Ranger, you were watching to see him kick ass.
Yeah, exactly. That's you're looking at a Texas Ranger looking to exact justice.
Yeah.
You want to watch a good actor, watch Ranger Trivette.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. That's what they have him for, and then the other gal, and then CD.
CD.
Yeah.
Got enough garlic for you? Which RIP Ranger Trivette.
RIP Ranger Trivette and Theo from Die Hard.
Yes, exactly. Box office $17.1 million. It never said what the budget was.
Yeah.
I can imagine it didn't make money.
Yeah.
And
that'd be a safe bet.
Yeah. Unfortunately, what's on the VHS? Just an FBI warning. That's it. So, and then also a little tidbit, the casting director is Annette Benson, who mm-hmm. She was the casting director for a lot of New Line Cinema stuff, including Surf Ninjas.
Which we did last week.
Mm-hmm. I think she also did the casting for the first Nightmare on Elm Street.
That makes sense.
So Matt, what is this movie about? For those of you listening, more than likely you've either seen it, have a passing familiarity, or haven't seen it. If you've seen it, you haven't seen it in a while.
Sure. So we follow Barry Gabrewski, played by Jonathan Brandis. Mm-hmm. He's a kid who's bullied and picked on, which I always think it's funny whenever they cast teen heartthrobs as the kids getting bullied.
Yeah.
Not to say, never mind. It's just funny, in the 90s especially.
Mm-hmm.
But Barry Gabrewski has asthma, he's a daydreamer, and most of the time we go back and forth between reality and his daydreams.
Mm-hmm.
And in his dreams, he can make himself, he has asthma.
Yeah.
And so in his dreams, he can make himself an action star mm-hmm. like Chuck Norris.
Mm-hmm.
And in his dreams, it's an escape and he can control his destiny and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
you know, in reality, he's a kid with asthma who gets picked on. The girl he likes kind of is sweet and well meant and well intentioned, but she feels sorry for him.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, one of the bullies, Cellini, takes martial arts. And Barry is a big fan of martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And after visiting a martial arts studio, run by Kelly Stone,
mm-hmm.
who's Joe Piscopo, the
yeah.
bad guy
mm-hmm.
Instructor, he basically schools him and says that martial arts is about discipline and grace and all that stuff. And so basically he wants to learn martial arts, not as just as self-defense, but as a discipline to help give him confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Mako is his teacher's uncle.
Did you say Kelly Stone teaches in that martial arts is about?
No. Yeah. He schools Kelly Stone.
Okay,
because they go to his dojo
mm-hmm.
and he's basically telling about how he wants to kick Chuck Norris's ass, and basically he walks in and it's much like the Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of teaches aggression, no mercy, stuff like that. And he's like, listen, martial arts is about discipline and grace and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff. And he's like, yeah, whatever, kid. So basically, he learns martial arts to develop confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Cellini invites him to basically prove himself at this karate tournament.
Yeah.
And he's going in and out of daydreams with Chuck Norris because
mm-hmm.
he's a big Chuck Norris fan.
Yeah.
and reality, and he's usually criticized for being a dreamer, mm-hmm. but there are people who believe in him, and they're like, a lot of great people were dreamers and stuff like that. So basically, that's kind of the movie in a nutshell.
I mean, it's pretty much, like we mentioned earlier, with some tweaks, it's a Karate Kid.
It's the Karate
clone.
Kid.
The difference is, you know, instead of this kid from Jersey coming to California, this fish out of water who ends up in the wrong place at the wrong time, messing with the wrong people. He himself also has a chip on his shoulder, so Daniel LaRusso didn't help himself in that situation.
Right.
Didn't really endear himself.
No.
However, he was endearing to the audience, so he let it slide. But it's essentially this kid who wants to learn martial arts for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And he's now under the tutelage of a wise Asian man. And in this sense, Mako's character, Mr. Lee, who's Chinese.
Yeah.
In The Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi, who's Japanese.
Yeah. What's Mako's connection to Jonathan Brandis in the movie, to Barry?
So essentially, Barry, because we see the movie opens with one of Barry's daydreams.
Yeah.
And like Matt said, it goes in and out a lot of daydreams. Yeah. Like, I'd say a good chunk of the movie is told a lot. It's just a lot of being whisked away in a daydream.
Yeah.
So what they do is they kind of emulate some things that Chuck Norris went through in his movies. Like, it opens up on this, I want to say Japanese, but then there's Chinese elements.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to just say Asian.
Basically, it opens up on a martial arts fantasy.
Yeah, on a martial arts fantasy.
Barry and Chuck Norris are two good white ninjas facing white, the color, like the color of their ninja garb, facing off against bad guys who are dressed in black. So black ninjas, like regular.
Yeah.
And they're saving damsel in distresses.
Yeah.
And as things go on in Barry's life, they ingratiate themselves into
dreams. Kelly Stone becomes the bad guy in his fantasies, and then you have Cellini showing up as I keep wanting to say the great Cellini. He sounds like a magician.
Yeah. And Richard Mull, it plays a gym teacher.
Yeah, Richard Mull,
who ends up being cool.
He ends up like liking Barry,
because
of course he's the typical, like, you know,
military-esque.
Yeah, he's like, you know, everything's, you know, these feats of fitness, and you know, let's test your fitness, and, you know, quit being a wussy and a sissy, you know, Gabruski. We don't need you. I don't need you dying on my watch because you can't breathe or whatever.
Yeah.
So Barry's always sitting out of gym stuff, but Richard Mull ends up kind of liking Barry. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But essentially, a lot of the movie is this kid with his escapism fantasies.
Yeah, and his teacher, who what's her name again?
Noreen Chang.
Noreen Chang, one of his teachers, believes in him and knows that a lot of great people were dreamers, but she just needs him to stay in reality in order to, like, do well in school. And
I think it's Chang. It's Chan.
Yeah, she sees a lot in him.
Yeah.
She's not like the other teachers who think he's an idiot because he can't pay attention, kind of thing. He has essentially a learning disability.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't see him as an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
She sees him as a dreamer, someone with a lot of potential.
Yeah.
And Beau Bridges, his dad, is like, you know, he sees Chuck Norris in his dreams. He says they're sidekicks. They do things together. To which I was like, what kinds of things?
What kinds of things? Because when the movie opens up, we see Barry back in reality. With it comes in on him, he's like, I'm glad to be your sidekick, Chuck.
Yeah.
And then everyone in his class is laughing at him, which, me personally,
they call him Barry Wary.
I was going to say something, me personally, but the more I thought about it, the more it's actually applicable. Because I was going to say, even before I could pinpoint it as ADHD, I daydream a lot. I still daydream a lot. I myself go through, like, escapism fantasies because it's birthed out of, like, not being happy in your normal life or normal reality one way or another. This isn't me having a cry for help. I'm just saying, in general, everybody can be like
that. Well, and it's like when his dad's talking to Noreen Chan, he's like, you know, he creates his own fantasies to where he's the quarterback of the football mm-hmm. team, to where he's the action star.
Yeah.
And when I heard it, I was like, I can relate to that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I think anybody.
I'm the cool guy.
I mean, that's,
you know, the scenarios and my responses mm-hmm. and my relationships are within my control. I don't have to deal yeah. with the unpredictability of real life.
Yeah.
Because that drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm. And so Barry, like, when he comes back to, and after, like, talking in his fantasy, sometimes if you're in your world for so long, you don't know that you're doing certain things, like
yeah.
talking to yourself, talking to nobody who's there.
Yeah.
He has a moment in gym class where it's like that, but he does a lot of the talking. He talks to himself, pretend like, as if Chuck Norris is there. He does a lot of, like, acting out the scenarios.
Yeah.
But, like, he says that, and then everyone's laughing at him. And,
yeah.
like, this is where we see Noreen Chan yeah. as his teacher, and she's like, I need to talk to your dad.
When he's embarrassed, his asthma flares up.
Yeah,
and he's got his inhaler.
He's embarrassed or nervous or yeah. stressed out.
Yep.
Which I feel like he has selective asthma, because sometimes when he does more physical things, the asthma doesn't flare up. But when he's getting, like, the third degree from someone,
yeah.
he's like,
well, when you can do physical things to help with asthma.
Yes.
You mean yes. he Jonathan Brandis doesn't sell it all the
yeah,
time.
Exactly. That's what I mean. But also, it seems like it comes about in every... In, like, but, like, of course, I'm not, you know, disregarding or diminishing the effects
sure.
of asthma, but it seems like every few seconds or every few minutes he's on his puffer, like,
yeah,
in any
his
situation.
Inhaler.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is an inhaler, but
yeah.
it's like what he's using is like a puffer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But he's on his, you know, he's taking his puffer, his
yeah.
inhaler.
His, like, lung juice.
Yeah, exactly. It just seems funny because, like, he's out of breath 1 minute.
Yeah.
But like you said, he's not selling it another minute when he just did, like, more work, like,
sure.
physically
yeah,
here
yeah.
or there. But that was just that's a silly little thing.
No, it's okay.
But it goes to show that, you know, back to what you asked about the relationship. Again, Mako is Noreen Chan's uncle.
Yeah.
And she's mentioning to
yeah.
Barry's dad that, you know, she wants Barry to meet him.
Yeah.
So, like, Barry and his dad go to meet Mako.
Yeah, because his dad takes him, again, to Joe Piscopo's
yeah.
karate studio, because
mm-hmm.
he's like, you want to learn karate? We'll enroll you in karate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much like, and this bears repeating, we're going to keep reiterating this, this is a less menacing, less threatening karate kid.
Yeah.
You have
oh, yeah.
the weak kid, and then you have a bully who takes karate. There's the villain karate teacher who owns a studio that embraces the violence of karate. You've got the Asian good guy teacher with unconventional techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, with some tweaks here and there, it's completely derivative of the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
And basically, Mako is the Mr. Miyagi
yeah.
character.
I just thought it was funny that Barry goes off on Stone about what the virtues of karate really
yeah.
are, like, which Stone scoffs at. We then cut to a shot where those virtues from Chuck are best exhibited, and that's why he holds an assault rifle and missing in action.
There are a lot of fantasies to where he's such a... He puts such an emphasis on karate and the
mm-hmm.
peace of karate
mm-hmm.
and the beauty of karate. And you texted me saying he sure does have a lot of fantasies with gunplay.
Yeah, it's like for all of the ways, again, he's stolen the virtues of karate,
yeah.
wanting to learn karate to be
yep.
like a sidekick to Chuck Norris. There's more fantasies to where it's Chuck Norris in a movie where he's carrying a gun,
yeah,
and where he solves problems with the gun.
Yeah, I would chalk it up to to like not having time, either trying to match the Chuck Norris movies
mm-hmm.
or just not having time to craft proper fight choreography,
because yeah.
that would require additional training for Jonathan Brandis.
Right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if this was comparatively low budget, well, not low budget if you have Chuck Norris,
mm-hmm.
but also Chuck Norris did it as a favor
yeah.
for his brother. So that's kind of my theory, is that would require more training.
Mm-hmm.
And as you see at the end, Jonathan Brandis has some training, and
yeah.
in some scenes you're like, they trained him some,
yeah.
but they do a lot to mask his lack of training.
Mm-hmm. His one of his last, like, scenes at the tournament, I think they do a kind of a creative
way. Yeah, I have a note about that,
But when he's watching Missing in Action, it then fades into one of his daydreams, and Joe Piscopo in a very racist depiction of a Japanese person.
Yeah. Which he probably would have played on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Because Joe Piscopo used to be on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that's right. But, like, that's what we went over, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
It's a relatively unremarkable movie.
Yeah.
And that's not knocking it.
Yeah. It's not mocking it.
And of course,
I was saying more like Mako. Then as I said it, I was like, oh yeah, mocking is a real word.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, we're gonna talk a little more about it.
Yeah,
but it
just kind of jumps. I don't know the pacing of it. It's an easy watch.
It's very much a Sunday night or a Sunday afternoon movie on TV.
He's either always training, daydreaming. In gym class,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
Yeah, or in class.
Or in class.
Because there's this one Mr. Mapes, who's this English teacher who's needlessly mean.
Yeah,
he's clearly
into Noreen Chan.
Yeah, and then there's this romantic. There's this teasing of a romantic subplot with Noreen
and Beau Bridges.
And Beau Bridges.
And I kind of like that they never really distract you mm-hmm. with like. You're not going to get a love scene, but like them on a date mm-hmm. and like them like kissing or anything. The closest they get is she's practicing her kata
mm-hmm.
for the tournament.
Yeah.
And she's
which apparently she's in, which we don't realize that's what she's practicing for. Well, I think in the moment where she's doing that, she's showing them the art of it.
Yeah.
And then like at the end, we see she's all of a sudden in the tournament because there's a division for her and then there's a division for Mako and then. Chuck Norris joins their team.
Yeah, exactly.
Spoiler alert, the real Chuck Norris shows up.
Yeah, but the closest you get with Beau Bridges is he's like, oh, it's beautiful. It's like a dance. Mm-hmm. It's like ballet. She's like, well, I can teach you. And that's the closest it gets.
And then it's also, it's kind of hinted at that Barry, you know, it's more than just him wanting to escape to be this hero. He wants to be sidekicks with Chuck Norris as kind of this father figure. And maybe we'll see, like, Beau Bridges doesn't show up, you know, for him, either show up physically or show up in the sense of, like, you know, you showed up for me in an important time. You know, we think maybe he's not going to, like, show up and support Barry until near the end.
No,
he's supportive the entire movie.
Yeah, we get a few scenes of him kind of disengaged and kind of brushing some things off.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like, and it's crazy because... It didn't register with me, but I'm mm-hmm. like, wait a second. He's with him like every step of the way.
Yeah, so it seems like Chuck Norris is just an accessory in these fantasies.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe it's just such a specific fantasy that it's like, well, I want to be sidekicks with Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Which also kind of lends to the end of the movie to where I won't say kind of what I got from the movie in a way, but kind of like... He doesn't see himself as being a hero without this hero above me.
He's almost like a security blanket.
Yeah. Like Chuck Norris is almost like a security blanket. Like, I can't be the hero of my own story. It has to be Chuck Norris and I'm his sidekick because he's so much better than I am.
The movie, it doesn't do it like drastically, but it pushes the pace a little bit of the movies it's derived from.
Yeah.
Kind of. Hitting the high points,
mm-hmm.
you know, we need to get him. He at one point, you know, Mako's telling him you need to walk to school, and then Barry is rejected by Danica McKellar,
mm-hmm.
who he likes, and she likes him, but not like that. And Cellini, the great Cellini, basically says, like, you know, she feels sorry for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Cellini is in Kelly Stone's karate class. Yeah. And Kelly Stone...
He's the Johnny Lawrence.
Yeah. Joe Piscopo, like we said, super hammy. The complete opposite of Jonathan Kreese.
Yeah.
And the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Like, when they go to his studio, he's like, could you keep it... Because Barry's wheezing. He's like, could you keep it down, kid? I'm trying to talk over here.
Yeah.
And he's like, Chuck Norris.
Yes.
Chuck Norris doesn't compete anymore because he knows I would kick his ass.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is, like, he's cartoonish.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a cartoonish villain.
You're not scared.
Yeah.
There's no menace. You're not really scared of any conflict.
What helps with Joe Piscopo, almost a Piscopo, Joe Piscopo being so cartoonish and having that comedy background is you can put him in these fantasies doing these different cartoonish things because he's dispatched of in very slapstick cartoonish ways.
Oh,
even though
there's
a lot of gunplay in there, nobody gets killed.
Yeah.
Like the scene that I remember from when I was a kid.
Wasn't that Spike?
That, right there. Because, like, there's the scene to where Barry's starting to get more confidence in himself.
Yeah.
Like, as the movie goes on, one
thing... Oh, sorry. I started... This is going to drive people crazy who don't have ADHD listening. When I was talking with Danica McKellar, she rejects him, and he's upset because he's like, Cellini's right. You do feel sorry for me. The great Cellini.
Yes.
Now I'm not going to think about it.
Right.
And he basically runs home, and he has a massive asthma attack and ends up in the hospital.
Yeah.
And then Mako and Noreen Chan show up, and Mako shows up as the concerned teacher. But it's at the point in the movie to where he really only visited him once. And storytelling-wise, it's like, well, maybe he's done it more, but as an audience, we only see it once.
Right.
And so at first, the pace feels like it's being pushed in a way to where you're like, how... There's no way I believe that there's a concern for his student because we've seen him train once and we've seen him in the kitchen with Mako at his restaurant.
Because Mako's Chinese restaurant.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't feel anything for this. It progresses a little more. It's like, okay, I can excuse some things.
I think it does a better job after that point where Barry goes to the hospital.
Yeah.
But there's the Mr. Miyagi thing where Mr. Lee... just walks into his room and he's like, I have a breathing remedy with this special ingredient.
It's Vicks Vapor Rub.
Probably urine.
And basically that's his proof that, okay, I know that like you want this kind of thing.
But it's like the Mr. Miyagi thing where it's like, here's this special thing. Here's this remedy.
Yeah.
Here's this idea.
It's unconventional techniques.
He's trying to give like this unconventional wisdom.
Yeah.
Like you said, Mr. Lee runs this Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
So like while
I am Mr. Lee.
Yes.
Pickup artist.
I'm the pickup artist.
Yeah.
And Barry's back there and there's the scene where when they're first talking, Barry's dad and Noreen are at the restaurant.
Yeah.
And in the back, Mako's trying to kind of size Barry up and ask him why he wants to do certain things. He's throwing these dough balls at him,
yeah.
like dumplings would be made from. And he's like, you need faster reflexes. You got to, and he's like, if you're going to do, you know, if you have this interest in this martial art.
This fight milk is pretty good.
Yeah. Fight milk.
We're drinking a prime hydration drink.
Yeah.
The drink of Logan Paul and KSI.
Internet douchebag scam artist and WWE superstar Logan Paul.
Yeah.
And KSI, whoever that is.
Is internet personality.
Okay. but we're drinking their this isn't an advertisement for Prime because I want to try to not give that guy money. But damn it, these drinks are pretty good.
They are pretty good.
They're
this
pretty
lemon
good.
Lime is... It's got a full body taste.
Yeah, especially when you mix it with things.
Mm, like what? Water?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The red one's the best because red tastes the best.
Of course.
But I'm having the orange one, and it kind of tastes like Sunny D.
Nice.
Don't drink the ice pop. It tastes odd.
Yeah, it's not like other lemon kind of drinks where it tastes kind of watered down.
It has like more of a sweetness
to it.
It's
got a sweet kind of... It's got a full flavor.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
That's what I would say about prime hydration drinks from Logan Paul and KSI.
Yeah.
They have a full flavor.
Yeah.
Now back to Sidekicks.
Yep.
On the Channel 11 Sunday afternoon movie.
Yep. That's exactly probably the last time I saw it was on a Channel 11 Sunday afternoon movie.
One of the things I remember is the scene in the Chinese restaurant to where like Noreen comes in as like, Mako is talking with Barry and he's like, we need to think of, you have this respect for martial arts. You need a karate name, Barry the Leopard, Barry the Tiger, before he calls him, how about the Dumpling? I was like, Barry the Breathless. And one of the scenes I remember is the character actor we were talking about earlier, Hank the Biker.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, there's these bikers in the obviously closed Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we don't see them because we don't see...
They're not really bad guys.
No, they're not.
Like, they're rowdy and drunk.
They're goofy.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And they're dispatched of in a goofy way from Mr. Lee.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where there are parts in this movie where it feels like scenes were cut out.
Like, I'm sure there were.
Like, and not really this in particular, to where there's a scene where the biker, mm-hmm. we see the bikers earlier, but I feel like there should have been something to indicate they were outside. Like, maybe we hear their bikes pull up as, like, Noreen and Jerry, Beau Bridges' character, are talking, because we see, like, the lights illuminate, like, Jerry's face, and Noreen's like, oh, God, or something like that, or, like, or she says, like, who's that? And then we see, you know, the exchange between Mr. Lee and Barry, and then Noreen comes in, and she's like, you know, uncle, we need your help out here, blah, blah, blah. The whole thing is, he's supposed to be, like, this drunk, like, he's supposed to be, like, this drunk Chinese man out there to serve them, but then he, like, kicks all their butts.
Yeah.
Like, Mr. Lee.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's it. That's it for the bikers. But essentially, before that all happens, before Barry goes to the hospital, afterwards, there's some pretty serviceable, like, training montages. You know, I think it makes
they get some wide shots to so they can film the stunt double, do a bit more of the advanced stuff.
And the martial arts looks cool from the stunt double.
Yeah.
There are a few shots that are really cool, like when there's this, it's supposed to take place in Texas, but there's, like, this fountain, and there are these nighttime shots to where it just shows when Barry starts to become more capable, Mr. Lee is riding his bike. He's doing laps around this fountain, and Mr. Lee's following him, and it looks pretty,
it's pretty cool. Overhead shot. That's mm-hmm. Pun intended, one of the running things that they do is, you know, when they're training, it's like they'll do something and it'd be like, and now we run. And eventually, like, Barry gets comfortable enough to where he says, and now, and they both say, we run.
Uh-huh.
And so, kind of running to build that endurance mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah. And, but then also to try and kick him of his asthma, because I think it's supposed to be, it's indicated that him feeling like he's not capable to do things, it's his asthma's kind of psychosomatic.
Right.
In a way.
Yeah, in a way.
In a way.
To which I also step back and I'm like, okay, there's no cure for asthma. You can do things to help with mm-hmm. it, to help treat it and stuff like that. I mean, obviously, inhaler and just being active. If you're a smoker, like, giving up smoking and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But you can't, there's no cure for asthma. So there were a few times where it's like, it kind of sounds like you're telling him, well, if you do these things, you won't have asthma anymore. And that's not the case.
Yeah. And it's one of those, that's where kind of the pitfalls come in. Yeah. Something like that, I don't think, is all in his head.
Right. But I do, Mako is kind of giving off the impression like you're letting it hold you back.
Yeah. And he's not for lack of, like, good wisdom bits when it comes to the art of karate or of martial arts. Like he says, your greatest weapon you'll ever possess is self-control.
Yeah.
And it's kind of great advice.
Yeah.
It's a great aspect to karate. Martial arts is a defense.
Yeah.
You know, it's more important to be graceful in the heart.
Yeah.
Type stuff. So I read that this is where I think Jonathan Brandis shines.
Yeah.
Because I like the moments outside of the fantasies better, because he has to be more kind of like campy in his fantasies.
Yeah.
Kind of faux tough guy.
Over the top. Action star.
And those are the moments where I'm like, besides the Western scene.
Yeah.
Like, I liked that where he was
usually talking like that. Like, he's like trying to sound badass and stuff,
and some of his charm shines through there.
Yeah,
but I really like the scenes not in his fantasies.
Same,
because it's very real and relatable, but also you see his character growth and development.
Yeah,
so where I think him going to the fantasy worlds inhibits his character development.
Yeah. He's spending too much time there. Yeah, rather than developing as a person. Yeah, kind of thing.
Which I think maybe an indicator to the change in that is after he's had the moment in the hospital. He starts to train more, and we get more of the movie to where he is, again, using that word capable, because I think that's a good way to describe it. He's becoming more confident, capable in martial arts. Intermittent between all that, we have scenes of him in the gym. One of the more, you know, prime examples of him, you know, gaining confidence in himself in a way is he's in gym class. This is another part I remember from when I was a kid. He's doing a fitness test.
And
he's climbing the rope. And the time when he's climbing the rope, he doesn't believe in himself. And then he hears, hey, Barry. And then he looks, and it's Chuck Norris next to him. And he climbs the rope to the very top.
Yeah, to which during that scene, because we're led to, not led, he's the only one that can see him.
Mm-hmm.
And then gym teacher Richard Mull is like, what the hell is he doing? But I was sitting there, and it was just a shot of Barry and Chuck Norris. And I was like, quit fraternizing with Norris and climb the damn rope. And Barry turns around and is like, this didn't actually happen, but this is, made this up. Quit fraternizing with Norris and climb the damn rope. You see him too? And then Richard Mull gets more somber and contemplative. I see him every day and every night.
Get out of my dreams and into my car. Climb up the rope.
Yeah. But that doesn't happen.
No,
but he's basically, one thing I remember is, and anytime I see a, when you climb the rope in gym class, it's, wrap your legs around the rope.
Yeah.
See, there you go. Now all the weight's in your
legs.
Put
all the weight in your legs.
Yeah.
Now scale up the rope. Use your arms. Come on, Barry.
Yeah. Not a good actor.
No, he isn't. But the thing is, it's because at the beginning of the movie, he's given one-liners.
Yeah.
And because he was really popularized inside of the 80s to where you have these people who are capable of delivering these one-liners in a certain way that they should be delivered, and he can't because he's so uncharismatic and wooden. It just makes me cringe every time I hear him, like, because he's monotone. He's one tone in all of his line deliveries.
Yeah.
But back to Barry. He's very, very good at climbing a rope.
He is.
He has these moments. It's really in gym class to where Cellini and Cellini's goons become more physical on him.
Yeah.
But we do get to a point to where he's carrying like this bag
this
of balls.
This is where I was about to go next.
Yeah, bag of balls into the gym, and Cellini's talking shit.
Yeah.
And finally Barry's like, you want to do something?
Up
yours, Cellini. And he's like, what? What'd you say, wimp? And then Barry and Cellini get in a fight.
Yeah, I'm glad. It's pretty cool to see, because that is someone who's bullied, that's kind of their fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ticking up for himself. And it's not like in The Karate Kid when the Cobra Kai almost killed Danny several times.
Mm-hmm.
It's real inoffensive. I'm glad Barry stuck up for himself. He's gets some pretty good kicks in, some pretty good moves. Jonathan Brandis looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Although it looks like the same jump kick you would do in your bedroom.
Yeah.
It's not super versatile. But it's whatever.
Whatever.
I'm glad Barry stuck up for himself. I will say, though, Cellini would have destroyed him.
No, he would have.
Because he's been, Barry's been practicing martial arts for, let's say, a handful of months. Whereas, you're
giving him more credit than I would.
Yeah,
you're thinking like weeks?
I'm thinking weeks. I'm thinking this has happened in a matter of weeks.
Let's just say months,
okay,
just for the sake of argument.
Okay, yeah.
Cellini's probably been doing martial arts since childhood.
Yeah.
So there's no way Barry would have gotten the shots in that he did. Obviously, there's some shots of Cellini blocking and kicking stuff. But basically Richard Mull comes in and breaks it up.
Well,
and
one thing with before that, cause it happens cause the girls side are playing volleyball or,
cheerleading.
Yeah.
And Lauren,
Dana
McKellar's character, she runs out to go get, the gym teacher. So he comes in, he's like, all right, break it up. And the thing is, here's where it differs, because if Allie in The Karate Kid does it, she hates Johnny because of that. Not Johnny. She's mad at Daniel for getting in a fight. Lauren loves it.
She's like, well, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. And also, who else loves it? Richard Mull loves it.
He's like, you two, get out of here. Get out of here. Hit the showers, you two. To which, like, now you're going to send them to the locker room unsupervised after they just got in a fight.
Yeah.
How do you think that's going to go down? Cellini's going to slam his head into a locker.
He's like, this isn't over, Grabowski.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Barry, not bad, kid.
Yeah, that's where...
And only the face that Bull from Night Court can make.
And that's where I just had a note, Richard Mull is great.
I love... Richard Mull ends up coming around on Barry, and he sees... Even though, like, unfortunately, it's after seeing Barry get in a fight.
Yeah.
Richard Mull sees him as, like, not bad, kid.
Yeah.
You got some spunk.
And eventually Cellini comes up to him in class and puts a flyer on his desk and was like, you want a real shot at me? Here.
Yeah.
Making it seem like he set up a one-on-one fight, which it's not.
No.
The only one-on-one fight in this movie is done so cartoonish.
Oh, it's great. But it's great, though. But pretty much, I think this, I can't remember, was, I think what I'm about to say was Barry's final daydream. Because in gym class, this kind of bugs me, too. Because maybe not so much. Because it does seem like Lauren feels sorry for him. And then he runs away. He's upset because she feels sorry. Even though she's like, no, Barry, it's not like that. And then after, like, he's okay. It seems like she's happy he's okay.
Yeah.
But it seems like she, like, comes around more on him in, like, a romantic way after she watches him kick his ass. Or kick Cellini. Like, get in a fight with Cellini.
Yeah. We're in high school. That's enough.
Oh, yeah. But, he asked her, they're going to the zoo.
You're not thinking about, all you're thinking about is your crush liking you, not why they like you.
But he's going to the zoo with
Mako.
With Mako and Noreen Chan and his dad. I don't know if his dad's there.
I can't remember.
But she says she'll go to the zoo with them.
Yeah.
And then that night he's doing pull-ups and then it flashes to him with a mullet. Doing pull-ups on top of a building
with a mullet.
Yeah. And this is the daydream I remember the most as a kid. So him and Chuck are going into this warehouse where we see Joe Piscopo and then Cellini are in this daydream as these like punkers.
Oh yeah, Cellini is, isn't it?
Yeah, like these like spiky haired, like wearing black, like punkers, like, but really like hamming over the top.
Really over the top, and scene chewing.
And it shows they're like putting quote unquote drugs in candy and toys and stuff like that. But Joe Piscopo in this scene, like he's cartoonish to where it's like, I thought was like really funny. Like it just like the voice he chose to use. And then like, it's the most slapstick.
He goes from here.
Yeah.
To like, wasn't that Spike?
Yeah. Like it's the most slapstick. Like it's very slapstick. Some of the most gunplay, but like nobody dies. It's like guns are used to like knock people out platforms and stuff like that. A lot of that. But that's what I remembered as a kid.
Yeah.
And this whole time, the damsel in distress in Barry's daydreams is Noreen.
Yeah.
But in this instance, like, because it starts out as Noreen and then he turns around the
chair. Not because he's attracted to his teacher.
No. She's the female who really is giving him, like, this attention in, like, a healthy way of, like, I believe in you.
Yeah.
So it's this person who believes in him.
It's super innocent.
Yeah. So when they go to where Cellini's punker character had been holding Noreen hostage. Yeah. He turns around the chair and it's Lauren.
Yeah,
now.
Danica McKellar. Yeah.
And this line bugs me because Chuck is like, he sees it's not his teacher anymore, Noreen Chan. He's like, Barry, what's going on? Where's Noreen? And Barry's like, hey, this is my dream. And then they start smooching. I'm like, haven't all of these
been your dream?
I was like, whose dream? They haven't been Chuck Norris's dreams.
No, they haven't been your dad's Bridges' dreams.
Yeah,
why is he putting his son in harm's way? In harm's way sounds like a Chuck Norris movie.
Yeah, exactly. You're not dream jumping like SpongeBob.
Yeah, exactly.
So that part just stuck out to me. I was like, whose dreams have they been?
I think I didn't write it down, but I was like, what? Aren't they? They've all been your dreams.
So it comes to the ending of the movie.
The karate tournament.
And you can find this movie on YouTube
in
full. It's a quick one hour and 40 minutes.
Which you say 1 hour and 40 minutes, it moves really quick.
And I'm sure like with anything, there's stuff we're going to miss. Like there are moments with Mako with bits of wisdom and you know I really like Mako in this.
I do too.
I mean I like most of the characters
either
I don't have opinion on them.
They're kind of, you know, not pushed away at the tournament. They just you need a four-person team compete in each event.
None of this is said beforehand.
No,
we don't find out until they're in line at the tournament because at this moment I forgot Noreen was going to be in the tournament. And then Mako's there and he's like, you need a four-person team. And I was like, what?
Because the events are like kata, which Noreen does. There's brick breaking, which Mako does in an apron.
Yeah.
There's weapons display, which is almost said Randy.
what Barry does.
Barry. Which, by the way, throughout the whole movie, he's learning to use nunchucks.
Yeah. And that's cool. Again, there's some really like charming things during during the montages. Yeah,
but they don't have someone for like the one-on-one portion of it, which you're like, wait, wouldn't that be Barry? But you know, the final confrontation isn't a one-on-one, and that's where you get. They ask Chuck Norris
because he's at the tournament,
yeah. And he does it. And the guy at the sign-in booth is like, "Chuck Norris, seriously?
Are you for real?"
And he's like,
"You got a problem with that, son?" I liked that part.
Yeah, for sure.
I liked the part where Barry sees Chuck Norris because Barry. This is where we see the payoff in the end, at least for me. Yeah. Barry is feeling good about himself.
He's nervous,
but he's feeling confident.
Yeah.
So you see him like he's watching. You see when he meets Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
All we see is Barry, and we see these foot because Noreen and Noreen's the one who talks to Chuck because like Kelly finds him and Kelly's talking shit and he's like, "All right, Stone, whatever." And he's like, "That guy never changes."
Yeah.
Say, "Am I right?" And I was like, "I don't know him." But like Noreen's talking to Chuck. And we see Barry just sitting on the steps, and he's got this wide-eyed look about him. He's just really excited.
Oh, like taking it all in.
And we see, you know, the footsteps walk behind him, and the footsteps sit down, and Barry's, it's that scene where it's the one shot on Barry. He's kind of looking around, and he looks, and then he just like deer in a headlights.
Like, oh my God.
He doesn't say, "Oh my God," but the look on his face is like, "Oh my God, Chuck Norris."
Chuck Norris is like, "Hey, how you doing?"
"How's it going?" "How's it going?"
"Are you competing?"
I think so. Are you eating that?"
"This place doesn't have nachos."
Yep. It's such a cool scene because it's this guy it's this kid you've seen fantasize about being the sidekick of this action hero, and he finally sees him.
He kind of gets to be his sidekick.
Yeah. And then I do really love the part where Chuck Norris is like, "You got a problem with that?"
Yeah.
And he like puts his arm around
on
like,
everyone. Yeah.
And I was like, I like that. It's these different events. And you talked about one-on-one. They didn't want to make it a one-for-one remake of like Karate Kid.
Yeah.
So, and to keep it kind of more PG.
Very lighthearted.
You know, they had Barry do the weapons display.
Yeah.
Which when doing the weapons display, just to kind of mask Jonathan Brandis not being as proficient with the nunchucks.
I was gonna say he clearly did train with nunchucks, but not enough to look competent like in a competition.
Yeah. So what they do is Jonathan Brandis walks towards the camera and it blacks out for a second and then walks back and it's his final fantasy.
It's
his white ninja character, so they can mask that and have a professional do all these cool nunchuck skills.
And it's one of his fantasies. And then once the ninja finishes his display, it cuts back into like Jonathan Brandis is holding the nunchucks in a finished position to imply that he did all the things we just saw the ninja do. Mm-hmm. And they're like, "Whoa, look at that." And everyone's cheering. And they're like, "Great job, Barry," and stuff like that. And then we get Chuck Norris against Kelly Stone, which you have Joe Piscopo's hammy Kelly Stone. Just like, "I would kick his ass. Come on, Chuck. I'll kick your ass."
He's playing it to the hilt. And
and he's getting his ass kicked. And it's hilarious.
His facial expressions are hilarious.
Come on.
Come on. And then when he's getting his ass kicked, he's just wide-eyed and like, "Whoa." And then
finally takes the top of his gi off.
Yeah.
And Joe Piscopo's jacked in this movie. He got into weightlifting a lot, like, later on in his life. When I say later on, it's like the 90s. In the 90s, he got into weightlifting.
In the 90s.
Jerry Seinfeld from the 90s. It's the famous kind of, not famous, but if you know this movie, you know this scene.
Yeah.
And it's the slow motion, like, "What?"
He's
running towards him, and Chuck Norris kicks him in the head, and you get this, like, whoa.
Yeah, just
like
going
he's
back.
Spinning.
He has this bewildered look on his face. Just he looks like a maniac.
And it is so absurd.
But what's funny is it shows how cool and calm and collected Chuck Norris is, because the whole time he's just like, "God, this guy."
Yeah.
But also there's one scene to where like Chuck gets a point somehow, but it wasn't, I guess, He didn't deem it honorable, so he's like, no point.
Yeah.
But Kelly Stone gets very little offense in.
Yeah.
It's just
which is
Chuck
fine.
Norris kicking his ass.
Yeah.
Again, it's done cartoonishly.
Yeah.
And then the frying dragon, which is the Chinese restaurant,
yeah.
But also that's the team.
Yeah.
And then the Stone Dojo are tied. So the final competition is between Cellini. It's brick breaking. Cellini and Barry,
who has done it once before, and has not done it enough to confidently enter a brick breaking.
Yeah. And
contest.
Cellini, who they say was last year's champion, asked for one more brick, and he can't break it. So now Barry has to try. And then Mako sets it on fire, which they're not going to let a rando onto the competition floor and just light something on fire.
Now, he's not a rando, okay? He participated in the previous brick breaking event in the tournament.
He looked, but the thing
I
is,
know, yeah.
But Mako, his big thing when he's doing his martial arts against other people in any form or fashion, he's supposed to be unassuming, and he's like, you know, he's supposed to give off like the drunken master type like energy, and then he like follows through, but like. So, to your point, though, all they know him as is this drunken man who was wearing an apron and showed up late to his competition.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
No, you're right.
I'm just saying.
You're right. But he lights the bricks on fire and what will surely result in, at the very least, a disqualification.
Right.
And at the most, that fire losing control and killing a bunch of people.
Yes.
But it doesn't.
No.
You got to create drama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where Cellini is like talking shit, and he's like, when I win, maybe I'll let Lauren give me a kiss. And he's like, you motherfucker. And I was like, he doesn't actually say that.
Yeah. This is PG.
Yeah. But he's like pacing back and forth, and it's a cool shot of he paces, he comes back to the bricks, and Mako enters the frame, and he's like, Don't be angry.
Yeah,
he's like, you need to be focused.
Yeah, that's the best moment between the two of them. He's like, you know, you are not trying to beat stupid boy. You're trying to beat the bricks.
Yeah, exactly. And so Barry does it.
He does it.
He breaks the bricks.
He does it.
And he wins.
He wins. And then the end of the movie.
I will say, mm-hmm. when you're watching, you're like, But he's only done this once. Barry addresses that before, you know, when he says, mm-hmm. Mako's like, Barry, you're going to compete and do this. He's like, but I've only done it once. Mm-hmm. Like, how am I going to? And he gives him wisdom and it works, but at least they address it.
Mm-hmm.
At least they address that. He's like, I haven't done this enough to compete.
It's a nice triumphant moment at the end. Barry and Chuck are sitting on a bench. I don't remember what he says.
Yeah, he says something, and he says dreams do come true, Barry, but it sounds like he says Gary. I had to rewind it a couple times. And I was like, if Chuck Norris has phoned it in already.
But we see Noreen and Barry's dad walking out with a trophy, and Barry runs and joins them, and he looks behind him, and Chuck Norris is gone.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. And it's kind of confusing. It's kind of a confusing ending. And Barry has had this black belt magazine with Chuck Norris on the cover. We see several times throughout the movie. And then this kid in a wheelchair wheels up and he grabs it. I was like, why are the pages so stuck together? there is another scene where Barry's looking intently at a couple National Geographics.
It's very true. But you have to mention that when the kid in the wheelchair finds the martial arts magazine.
No,
they get a wide shot of him rolling away, and then there's a big "to be continued" that comes and flashes in the frame, like at the end of Back to the Future.
Yes, stay tuned for Back to the Future Part 3.
Sidekicks Part 2.
Yes, what I got out of that was Barry runs off,
gets up and walks away.
Throw your goddamn trash away. Gets up and throws it in the garbage.
And gets back in his wheelchair and rolls away.
Stolen valor.
Yes.
But what I got out of that, so Barry, he gets up and he's joyful when he joins his dad and Noreen and puts his arm around them and they all join in a hug. What I got out of that, when he looks around and doesn't see Chuck Norris anymore, it shows if you work to better yourself and in a way are determined to better your life situation and know there are people in your life who care about you and your well-being, you don't need to escape to a fantasy world. Your reality is somewhere you'd rather live.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, even though reality is unpredictable, it's reality. It's mm-hmm. the present. And when you decide to embrace that and live mm-hmm. in the present
yeah.
and embrace the unpredictability and really take the time to look and see what you do have mm-hmm. rather than envisioning something you want
yeah.
and see what you do have, it's far more enriching.
It is. It really is. And this movie, it's no Surf Ninjas, but I like it. It's definitely one of those movies that it's got some rewatchability, I feel like. Again, you can find it on YouTube. If you haven't watched it in years, go out and check it on. Go out and check it yourself.
Yep.
It's definitely one of those movies that you would rent from a video store and put it on for your kids.
Yep.
But unlike Surf Ninjas, parents may not enjoy it over along with the kids. But then again, maybe they would. I don't know. I just want to make sure I put that in there so I don't get a text from mom. I liked Sidekicks.
Yeah.
I liked watching
it. I like it too.
Yeah.
It's unremarkable. It's derivative, but that doesn't mean it's bad.
It's fun.
It doesn't mean it isn't fun.
Yeah. And I think instead of 5.1 on IMDb, I think maybe it should be 5.6 on IMDb.
Yeah. 5.7.
Yeah. It has some nice moments. I think, again, Jonathan Brandis, you could see his star was on the rise.
For sure.
He could do more stuff like this.
Yep.
And again, this was a product of that time in the 90s to where you're gearing these martial arts movies more towards kids.
Exactly.
And that's what this is. It's a good kids martial arts movie.
It is a very good kids martial arts movie, and we watched it as kids.
Exactly. Watch it as kids. Watch it again as adults.
It's fine.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I like it.
Yeah. I didn't feel like I wasted my time, which sometimes that's the highest praise you can give these movies.
Sure.
And hopefully you all didn't feel like you wasted your time listening to us.
Please, please,
please. We'll be back next week with another martial arts edition. Mm-hmm. But until then,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.